Question 140. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Matthew 27:46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Mark 15:34. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? Which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Of all the questions Jesus ever asked, this must be the one most difficult. It's difficult because there's no satisfactory answer, nor is there a premise for the question. We've all heard theories, but we must not be satisfied with speculation that affronts our spiritual understanding. Are there any of us who have ever been to Sunday school who's not heard the proposal that God cannot look upon sin, so he momentarily turned away from Christ on the cross? These kinds of ideas come from those who feel a need to help God answer this difficult question, why hast thou forsaken me? To these well-meaning but misguided theologians, I say thanks but no thanks. If God didn't answer Jesus' question, as he proved well capable of doing, we cannot presume to answer for him. The explanation, God cannot look on sin, has become so universally accepted that now theology is based and doctrines are defended upon that faulty premise as if it were fact. Ask yourself this question, if God cannot look upon sin, what hope has the sinner of God's grace and visitation? Where is this idea born upon Scripture? It's not. It came from the minds of men in our pulpits. Why hast thou forsaken me? We answer, because God cannot look upon sin. But it is an unsolicited answer to a question that Jesus likely did not even ask. This question, placed in the mouth of Christ in his torture, presupposes two facts that are yet to be in evidence. One, that God turned away from Christ in this hour of death, something Christ said that his Father would not do, even to sparrows. And two, that Christ was left uninformed as to why he did so. These are very difficult ideas. Are we to believe that God forsook Christ in his deepest hour of physical distress? If this is true, not only are we to believe that God forsook him, but we're to believe that Christ did not even know why he did so. From the age of 12, we read that Jesus knew he must be about his Father's business. It was so much a part of his conversation at home that he was astonished his parents did not know it as well. Also, he told his disciples repeatedly that he would be betrayed and slain. His parables pertaining to this always included the son of the Lord or husbandman being beaten and murdered. Are we to believe that Jesus did not understand what was happening or why? The prophecies of old were as second nature and were indeed first language to our Messiah. He had intimate familiarity with the prophets and with the Psalms. He was an integral part of the eternal plan of atonement, sacrifice, and temple ritual. He knew that the sacrifice of Abraham was a type and foreshadowing of his own execution. So, are we to believe that at the last moment, he did not know why? The long-departed Moses and Elijah visited this man in person for the purpose of discussing his upcoming passion. And yet, there are those who think that he was unaware of his lone sacrifice. This question of Jesus simply doesn't make sense. Perhaps I'm only saying aloud what no one's had the audacity to say. Perhaps to some who worship their Bibles as the Word of God, what I'm saying is blasphemy, but my faith has never been built upon senseless or useless premises, and I have no intention to pretend that this idea makes sense, nor will I present more useless ideas to cover it up. In the past, I put forth the theory that Jesus was simply quoting the psalm and not asking God a question at all. I knew in my spirit that God had not forsaken him, nor did he question why. The quotation from the psalm came just after the people said, "He trusted in God, let God save him now." In the same psalm from which this question comes, it also says with nearly identical words, "He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him." Psalm 22:8. The striking similarity in the two statements, 28 generations apart, had to be a curiosity even to the newest reader of Torah in those days. Maybe Christ, in his anguish, was simply quoting David from the 22nd Psalm. Upon another inspection of the verses where this is found, as it only appears in Matthew and Mark, it is apparent that those who stood by did not know what he said. "And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, 'Behold, he calleth Elias.' And one ran and filled a sponge with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink, saying, 'Let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down.'" What he said must have been nearly unintelligible because it was obviously so misunderstood. Perhaps the witnesses who recalled and wrote this only thought they heard him quote the psalm. This idea may anger those who want their Bibles to be perfect, but we must not idolize Scripture at the expense of casting dispersions on Jesus Christ that can only be explained by conflicting doctrines and ideas. Actually, he was speaking Aramaic when he said, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" This introduces an unusual point of interest. In recent years, there's been made available to the Western world scriptures of dubious but nonetheless interesting origin, the Aramaic Peshitta. The church from which they originate makes the claims that the scriptures in their possession were never translated, but were handed to their church fathers by the apostles in their original language, Aramaic. Aramaic was the language Jesus and his disciples spoke, and it was one of Paul's languages as well. The Peshitta makes for interesting reading and lays claim to settling our subject at hand, among many others. George Lamza, the translator into English, says that this confusing question was actually never asked. He contends that it was a misunderstanding of Aramaic, and more correctly reads, "My God, my God, for this was I spared." Jesus knew that this was his destiny. I must say as well, these are, without a doubt, the finest words I can think of to place here. If Christ's whole ministry culminated here, impaled upon a stake, as the serpent Moses lifted upon the pole in the wilderness, it would be a true and accurate statement for a fulfillment of all prophecy for Jesus to cry out, "For this was I spared. For this purpose I was held until now. This was my destiny." Many people struggle with this question of Jesus. It is as if all Jesus ever was while he was living is erased in his hour of death. The question, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" tears at the very fabric of the persona he presented, his years of ministry, his confidence, his knowledge and wisdom, even his enviable relationship to his Father, now hangs in doubt before all who watch him die this miserable death and hear him ask in agony, "Why?" As the crowd waited to see if God will save him, his detractors would likely have shouted a cheer if they heard Christ confess that they were right and that God had indeed forsaken him. Could he have said that? Whether you accept the Peshitta's rendition of these words or my theory that he was merely quoting the psalm, it's difficult to put these anxious and fearful words into the same mouth that said, "I and my Father are one." The other Gospels make no mention of this question of Christ at all. Theirs is a story of a more honorable death. They record Jesus Christ crying out, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit," and "it is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The relationship with his Father unbroken, his death accepted, he resigns to the will and care of God, his spirit, with no doubts, no fears, no questions. It was not long before this. Jesus asked, "What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this cause came I unto this hour." Jesus knew why he was there. He knew exactly why and how his death was to occur. There were few surprises in Christ's life. The torture was not one of them. He was never forsaken. He was not left to die alone and forgotten of his Father. No, it was for this he was set aside since the foundation of the world. For this was he spared. This was his destiny.